First, though, to the development long forecast, but still packing a big psychological impact, it would seem, when it actually happened. The resignation of the UK Prime Minister Theresa May, announced by her yesterday, to take place in under 2 weeks' time. How will this alter the course of events around Brexit? Can it somehow break the stalemate in the world's oldest democracy? What might happen next? Polita Clark is an ex-Fairfax journalist who's lived in the UK for almost two decades. She's carved out a respected career on the Financial Times and is widely read as a columnist and environment specialist. She joins me now to offer her insights and observations. Welcome to Saturday Extra, Polita.
Thanks so much, Geraldine.
Why now the resignation? I know it's been coming. Did you expect it right now?
Actually, we almost did, really, because it had just become increasingly clear that the more hardline Brexiters in Theresa May's Conservative Party were just going to become more and more intractable, make it more and more difficult for her to come close to getting her withdrawal deal through, the deal that she negotiated with the EU. And the final straw really came after she had belatedly decided to try to compromise or try to work out some form of compromise with the opposition Labour Party, and in an attempt to get this withdrawal deal through that had failed three times before. She wanted to entice Labour to back this deal, and she offered a few measures, including the prospect of being able to vote in Parliament on whether or not to have a second referendum, and that's what really became the trigger for yet another resignation from one of her fairly high-profile ministers. And it became clear that the Brexiters on the backbench were going to take things up another level by potentially changing the party rules because, not to get in too much into the weeds of it, but she had been more or less protected after the last effective challenge to her leadership by the party rules. But there was so much frustration amongst backbenchers, mostly, as I say, the fairly hardline Brexiters, that they decided that they would look at changing the rules. And it just became untenable, really, for her to continue. And even people who had been very sympathetic to her could just see we're just going to face months and months of agony with no real change, this horrible Brexit morass that the country has been plunged into just looked as though it was never going to shift under her leadership. I might add, however, that now that she's finally resigned, the basic arithmetic of the Parliament has not changed at all. Mm. And so whoever succeeds her, and there's a very, very crowded field, whoever succeeds her is going to face an incredibly difficult time trying to get this awful dilemma solved.
Yes, that second referendum plan seems to have been the final straw because she was, you know, it was starting to develop a real flesh, wasn't it? And I suppose it just gives an idea of how extremely hard the Brexiteers are going to fight. They're obviously terrified of that second referendum. That's how I'd read it anyway. Do you read it like that?
Yeah, I think they're concerned, but I also think that there's a lot of fear about what would happen on the Remain side as well. Obviously, Remainers want a second referendum, but there are many people who fear the consequences of that. For example, what are going to be the questions in the referendum? It's very difficult to see now that you could not have no deal Brexit as being one of the questions in the referendum. And that is long been seen as the nuclear option, economically at least. It's very clear that there would be all sorts of consequences. We obviously don't know exactly what they would be. So that question would almost certainly have to be on the ballot. Mm. And then if you were to put the question to the people again, there's absolutely no guarantee that they would not that we would not get a similar result. We may even get a very divided result. You know, imagine, it's very easy to imagine, we could have 52-48 in support of Remain. And that really is, it's difficult to see how that is going to resolve the issue either. I mean, it sometimes seems that as though we've been plunged into a situation that is just never going to end.
But it obviously will. And will the next Prime Minister be entitled, do you think, and given permission by the Conservative Party to really play a slightly different game? Can you see that? Is there a different mood from within the party possible?
I don't see that at the moment. All I can see is that there are a large number of people in the party who, as things stand, sound as though they're not just prepared, but very keen on electing a new leader, perhaps Boris Johnson, perhaps Dominic Raab, the former Brexit Secretary, somebody who's going to go to Brussels and say, we are definitely prepared to have a no deal. This is something that we believe is just going to be absolutely necessary unless you compromise significantly, which of course Brussels is saying is not going to happen. And they believe that as a Remainer, a closet Remainer, it has to be said for the last 3 years, but they believe that Mrs. May never really embraced their agenda. Mm. And they do now, there is undoubtedly a belief in the party that they can go back and effectively scare the EU into renegotiating the withdrawal deal, and doing something on the Irish backstop, which is very difficult to see, or simply leave without a deal. And they insist that they're prepared to do that.
So, all right, then it follows from what you're saying then that those who do wish to remain, maybe they're outside the Tory party. So I suppose I am also would like to know, I mean, how do you read, broadly speaking, if there is a mood among certainly people in the world of capital and others, particularly in the south of England, to remain, and Scotland, what might their decision, what might their moves be now?
Well, this is a difficult thing. You know, if the Labour Party had a clear, unambiguous position, we wouldn't be having this conversation. But Labour is basically trying to appear as though it's Remainer down south and pro-Brexit up north, really. It's been very difficult to discern exactly what Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour leader, wants. They have quite a confused, certainly not a doorstep-ready position on the conditions under which they would support a second referendum. So they've had some of their front benchers saying one thing and some saying another, and it's just they have, it seems, embraced this position of kind of constructive ambiguity, to be polite mm-hmm. about it. And that has made it really very difficult for a Remain force to emerge in any meaningful mm-hmm. way in the parliament. And added to that, it has to be said that Nigel Farage, the former UKIP leader who now has broken away and has his own Brexit party, there is no such thing as a Remainer version of Nigel Farage. And now, you know, he's clearly doing well at the moment because the Tories, the Conservatives, are in such a mess. However, it is still the fact that he's able to speak and communicate in a way and get a message across that has been that no Remain supporter has been able to do, and so it feels very much as if there's a kind of a vacuum at where one would hope that there might be a Remain. Some Remainers obviously would say that they would hope that there would be a really strong, personable, persuasive leader.
All right. Well, sort of two process questions now, Polita. What is the process that the Conservative Party sets up to elect a new leader when a Prime Minister resigns?
Right, so they have to have an election amongst the members of Parliament, first off. They whittle that down to two. At the moment we have apparently, or we believe, around 17-odd people who might end up running.
Oh, my goodness.
But once they
17!
That not 17 declared.
Oh, I see.
But
putting their hands up.
Only a handful have formally declared, but quite a large number have not ruled it out. What then happens is they whittle it down to two, and then those two names go to the. Well over 80,000, I think it is, but not much more.
I heard 102. I heard 102 last night on BBC World.
Yeah. I think it's somewhere between 80 and 100. Although I actually have seen 120,000 today. But anyway, a relatively small share of the electorate will then decide between the two. However, it may not be the two because back in 2016, when David Cameron unexpectedly resigned after the referendum result, there was a brief contest. In the end, everybody stepped down and Theresa May was effectively put in place without any vote being held. Mm. Yeah, there was a coronation, essentially, which actually was a bit of a problem, really, because it meant that there was no major discussion of the inherent contradictions of Brexit. Mm. And they've really been there right from the get-go, and there hasn't been any attempt, really, on her part to explain that to people. So I think that's been a really big part of the problem. That, you know, we didn't go through anything like the process that, say, John Howard took the country through in Australia on the referendum on the Republic. There was nothing like the sort of educating that has been done by people like Paul Keating or Bob Hawke on the Accord. You know, that sort of process just has not taken place. Instead, all of these debates have been held in real time on the floor of the House of Commons in this sort of terribly tense, fraught political atmosphere. And so it's just been hopeless, really.
So what do you think, who do you think we'll see come through? Have you got any ideas yet, really?
Well, at the moment, what is absolutely clear is that amongst the Conservative Party members themselves, that's the not the MPs, but the party members out in the country, Boris Johnson is by far the preferred leader. Is according to a poll that came out a week or so ago, he's on about close to 40%, and no one else was coming even close. Within the parliamentary party, he's been quite a difficult and divisive figure. However, the closer, the more fraught things have been getting. And even today, people have been saying, MPs have been saying, well, you know, I'm on record saying I would never vote for him, but quite frankly, I'm not sure that anyone else is going to be able to pull us out of this. So he can't be discounted, clearly, and he's the odds-on favourite at the moment. But coming on after him, if you believe the bookmakers, there are people like Dominic Raab. Then there's Jeremy Hunt, the current Foreign Secretary, Sajid Javid, the Home Secretary. These are people who, possibly with the exception of Jeremy Hunt, not many people out of Britain will have heard of. But, you know, it's a bit too early to tell. And one thing that's interesting about the Conservative Party is that they almost never elect the front runner. Having said that, the one thing I would say about Brexit is that all of these political rules that we've relied on in the past have just been completely shredded. So I don't take any notice of that either. All I would say is that Boris Johnson and Dominic Raab definitely have organised campaigns going and underway. So they're definitely not to be discounted.
Oh, Polita. As a great Anglophile, I've always envied you staying there in London, but not now. Thank you very much indeed, Polita, for joining us.
It's a pleasure, Geraldine.